go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Afternoon, it is Ben. We head into the night, and my goodness, the rumors continue. The friction in Duval right now is culpable. It really is, and I can just feel it. The emotions. What is Trent Baalke gonna do? The Grand Wizard, right? Trade up, trade down, get you thinking. Pick up the phone, take a call. Don't take a call. Send out a text, perhaps a tweet. Reportedly, Baalke's got spies, right? Fake individuals on Twitter that are either him, someone blood related to him, or someone who wishes they were a blood relative to him. It's so fascinating, man. It just fires me up. I love it. It's almost like I don't need it to be here. It's the whole ride, right? It's like, wait, I never surfed, but I hung with surfers. I refused to get in the water. I used to like surfers because they smoked a lot of dope and they always had hot chicks around them. So I hung. I did. I hung. But that's the way I kind of feel leading up to the draft. It's like, yeah, if I was in the water, you really don't need a wave, right? It's all of this thought that's going into what in the heck are the Jaguars going to do? Are they going to knock it out of the yard? Is it going to be a grand slam? Is it going to be one that's celebrated by Jaguar folks all across the First Coast? Or is it going to be a stinker, kind of like last year, right? Last year sucked. Last year smelled. Now, some of those guys may be able to turn things around in year two. I'm already on the Tank Bigsby bandwagon. Once again, if for what it was worth, I think Anton Harrison was a very good pick. But still, that's incomplete because no one's going to argue with a Jaguar fan. I never would. I mean, you listeners are always right. And that's why I love you. I adore you. You're always right. We're wrong. Fans are never wrong. And so many of you are convinced the only reason why Trent Baalke went out and got Anton Harrison was because Cam Robinson was selfish and got popped for four games, right? If he wasn't in that particular situation, he would have gone with, another off-the-ball linebacker, maybe a pass rush defensive end. Certainly, he would have drafted a guy and asked him to play a position he's never played before at the NFL level because, well, that's what Trent Baalke does. But it's also what Dave Caldwell did. Aaron Beasley's going to join me here in a couple of minutes. We're just going to talk to him. We'll go way back into the mid-90s. Hey, you know, did they consider maybe playing you at outside linebacker? Did they think that maybe you could be a safety? I mean, feel free to draft a guy in a position he's played in college and then ask him to play that in the NFL. You just took a right tackle who played only left tackle at Oklahoma. So that's all part of this anticipation and excitement. Everything that we've done draft-wise, I haven't even asked you, what do you believe here? If I was to throw $10K on the table and say, home run, or, you know, it's like it was in the Francona book. It was written by Dan Shaughnessy. It's one of the great baseball books I've ever read. And Manny Ramirez, who to this day is my favorite Red Sox of all time, okay? And he was so surly. He would have been a great player today, Manny, because Manny was all about Manny. And I think that is today's athletes, right? They're all about themselves. They're not great team players anymore. Today is about he, himself, his brand. Tom Brady went off on this week on a podcast, and he was correct. And whether you like Tom Brady or you hate Tom Brady, because there's no in-between, right? It's one or the other. You got to respect the man. He was a sixth-round draft pick, and he won seven Super Bowl rings. And I don't care if you think he cheated, he deflated balls. I don't care if you think he got calls. He still won. And he came out this week, and he said all today's athletes care about is themselves, their brand. They don't care about the team. And I agree with that so much. But Manny Ramirez, anyway, in the Francona book, just showed up one day a couple of hours before the game and said, I don't want to play, Skip. And Skip was like, man, I really need you. He's like, nah, I need an off day. And Skip's like, Terry Francona, and they called him Tito, was like, well, I got to say something to the reporters. What do you want me to tell them? Say I have a bad hamstring. And Francona's like, which hamstring? He pointed to them both. Okay. Here's the moral of the story. When Manny Ramirez was asked to come in and pitch hit, okay, pinch hit, bottom of the eighth inning in a 2-1 baseball game at Fenway Park, Manny Ramirez did not pick the bat off of his right shoulder for three straight pitches. He watched three straight strikes and walked back to the first base dugout. Okay, that was Manny. My all-time favorite player, and honestly, one of the greatest right-handed sluggers we have ever seen. But he was all about himself, and he was selfish, and it was a stinker. So what's it going to be, Jag fans? Is it Manny Ramirez with the bases loaded going way, way over the Green Monster, hitting the cask and flagging, entering the Massachusetts Turnpike? Or is it Manny Ramirez taking three straight fastballs, leaving the bat on his shoulder? You know it's going to be one of the two. It's not going to be a mediocre, yeah, kind of feels good, we'll see, yada, yada, yada. Uh-uh. The way this organization is, it's all or nothing. And for the most part, I actually feel pretty good about it right here tonight. I do. I think there's a real opportunity that Trent Baalke makes a move. Albert Breer today telling us that the Jaguars have explored, once again, big wide receivers, an opportunity to maybe move up. We talk about the top three. You're probably going to have to get into what? The top eight, top nine in order for that to happen. I think that's way, way, way too much of an asking price. Okay, just my thought on it as well. You look at what Mel Kiper did today when he produced his final mock draft. He had the Jaguars at number 17 going out and getting Quinyon Mitchell. A show has not gone by in the last couple of months where we have not talked about that. I like it because it makes sense. And I've kind of been convinced that this is the way to go. However, the way that my brain works, it's the Jaguars were 29th in pass block win rate last year. They were terrible. They couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't pass protect. You're already talking about a contract extension for your quarterback who has been underwhelming, who the jury is still out. You're really going to go defense with the 17th pick, with the need of offensive line, with the need of a big game-breaking wide receiver. We shall see. Again, it just keeps everything right in front of us, and it just makes it so incredibly amazing to wonder what exactly is this organization going to do. So as we get things started, 641-1010 on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Is it going to be a hit or miss? Right? And I know if they went with a big ugly and a big eater, and I'll tell you what as well, that Albert Breer put in today, he mentioned a couple of defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen. Byron Murphy, the second, out of Texas, if he falls, 6'1", 308. And then you look at the defensive tackle out of Illinois, who's dealing with a fractured foot, Derjon Newton, 6'2", 295. Yeah, you know, I'd look at it, and I'd probably say that would be fourth for me. My position of upgrade right now, even though they walk back the offensive line, in order would be offensive line, wide receiver, corner, defensive tackle. That's my list. Who knows what Trent Baalke's list is at this particular time? But it is really just remarkable. Hey, for what it's worth, and then I want to break soon here. I'm going to break normal a little bit sooner than I normally do because I want to bring Aaron Beasley here into the studio and get all of his thoughts on the NFL draft. But Kiper today, you know, it's Caleb, it's Jaden, and Marvin Harrison, Rome, Malik, Drake, your top six, okay? Pretty incredible. Actually, that was, that's his board, excuse me. I was actually looking for his overall mock draft selection. I'll get to that momentarily. But anyway, I did write it down. What I will tell you is that 9 of the top 10 are offensive players. The first defensive player is going to Dallas. That's number 8. Actually, it is Dallas Turner going to Atlanta, the number 8 overall selection. Of course, he played his college football at Alabama. So 9 of the top 10 are offensive players. Indianapolis forever has been, it feels like, in a position when you read these mock drafts, they keep selecting players that many believe Jacksonville wants. And that includes Terrion Arnold, the first corner off 2 spots before Jacksonville, going to Indianapolis. At number 15, the Jaguars getting Quinyon Mitchell. 4 quarterbacks in the top 16 as well. Obviously, that's a good thing. The more, the better. Could a 5th move up, like maybe a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix? This is all part of what we're going to have to wait to see coming up on Thursday. And obviously, if a 5th quarterback goes, the better chances are that Trent Baalke and the Jaguars are going to be able to get the player that they really covet. All right, opening comments tonight and every night brought to you by Schmunez Vision. They're located out at the beach. They get it right. They hit a home run every time. Okay. Whenever you visit them, all of your needs as far as your eyes taken care of. And it's as simple as that. Dr. Catherine Schmunez, fellowship trained in cornea, cataract surgery, all refractive surgery. Come on, that's more than 30 years plus in laser eye surgery experience. You can basically go anywhere just to get an eye examination, right? And an update as far as your prescription for contacts or glasses. But what about issues that are so much more important than that? And there are real issues with your eyes. That included surgery on my right eye 8.5 years ago. It's all part of their arsenal. It's all part of what they do. I want you to check them out online. Go to Schmunez Vision. Care you can see. Schmunez Vision. All right, get your questions ready. And they will include to Aaron Beasley, who's joining us here next in studio, one of the greatest defensive backs to ever play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's amazing. They drafted him as a corner, and they actually played him as a corner. We'll talk to him about what he believes Jacksonville's going to do, not only Thursday night, but Friday night and Saturday as well. Former Jaguar Aaron Beasley in studio next with Rick Ballew and J.J. LaSelva. We call this Into the Night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's good to have you back with us. Into the Night with Rick Ballew, Aaron Beasley. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. It's like football is nonstop nowadays, yeah. The way the media is. And it's like, you know, if you're into the sport, you're always looking for the next move. What's the next move?
You guys had it so easy back then. We'd come in 3-4 days a week, but there was no, you know, the internet was just getting up, and there were no cell phones with media accessibility and Twitter and all these websites. You guys had it easy back then.
We did.
How you doing? You got so much going on. I mean, I'm lucky enough we get to play golf quite a bit. But first things first, tell us about your brand new chapter of your life and what's going on now over at Duval Charter at Bay Meadows.
Oh, yeah. Coaching.
Yeah.
It's funny to me because it's almost like, you know, growing up and, you know, following someone's path, you know.
Right.
Like all of us watch Jordan,
mm-hmm.
You know. I watched Dion,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
And it was like, and then to see what he's doing for kids and the youth and how he went from just, you know, being a parent to just coaching his kids. And, you know, it's, you know, football is such a family sport that, you know, you can see what he does to motivate kids. And that's my thing, too. Like, even when I was done playing, I just always been around coaching or training or just some way. Like, I was helping with a 7-on-7 program, drove down here on a bus all the way down to Tampa Bradenton, IMG Academy. We had a 7-on-7 tournament, and I saw what that did and the impact of that. And that's kind of where it's funny how that story leads to what I'm really trying to bring to Jacksonville, you know.
Right. So you'll take over now as the coach at Duval Charter in Bay Meadows. Do you know yet what you're going to be able to take from the great ones that you learn from and use? Because I've noticed this from all coaches. They all think they can do it the best possible way. So you learn from Tom Coughlin. You learn from Perry Few. You learn from all these great coaches. What can you, Herm Edwards, whoever it may be, what can you take from them and now make it your own brand?
Oh, that's a lot, because it is a piece of all of them when you say it, because, you know, the one thing with me, I've always been a gym rat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was the manager of my football team when I was in elementary. So 1983, 84, I was a manager. 85, 86, I was a manager of the basketball team. I was a manager of the football team. I was always around our high school, and it was just always sports was everything to me. So, you know, with me, you know, just the way I approach sport is just like, love this stuff, love this game, you know? It's like, there's no pain because you love what you're doing, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, everything you do is putting the work in to be what you want to be. And that's always the way I live, because I always had older cousins that pushed me. I always played with older people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was in fourth grade, and I was playing in the adult summer leagues, basketball,
yeah,
everything,
right.
man. So I was, like, always advanced. And so what, to me, it still was hard work, because I had to work even harder playing with the older guys.
No doubt.
And that was always my drive.
Aaron Beasley, our guest, former Jaguar, now the head coach over at Duval Charter in Bay Meadows, and we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. I do want to get to the draft, but, you know, overall, are you happy with what the Jaguars have done to this point throughout free agency?
This year, this offseason, I think we filled holes that were necessary, you know. I mean, one of our weaknesses, obviously, was the consistency on the line. You know, mixing lineups in and out. I think keeping was it Big Ezra?
Mm-hmm.
I think keeping him. I know people say, "Oh, we overpaid," but sometimes you got to go, what is the market value? He played out of position a lot last year, and I think him getting into the system, playing comfortably, that'll be good. Morris, a vet, knows the game. I mean, that's what you want in front of your younger quarterback. You know, just look at Kelsey. You know, look what he did.
Oh, yeah.
For his younger quarterback. Our right tackle, young.
Yep.
He just needs to get stronger. Was it Antoine?
Anton Harrison,
Anton,
yeah.
Anton. Yeah. He just needs to get stronger. But he has all the tools, I mean, because, I mean, he's not one of those guys that are, you know, big bully, but mm-hmm. he has great footwork. You can tell he played basketball.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know. And then I think the other guard position will be a battle. And see, that's what makes me think sometimes that we need to draft a left tackle, because Cam has been in and out. But, you know, just with him, he's a little bit older. And I'm not sure about the financial situation, but it's nothing wrong with having depth on your O-line.
No, you can never have too many offensive linemen. And as I've always said, I mean, you guys were so talented both offensively and defensively, but – to me, it always started with that offensive line. With Big Sirs at the right side and Baselli on the left. I mean, it was a dominant offensive line.
Yes. And, I mean, you see the teams now.
Mm-hmm.
The best teams have the best line. You know, the 49ers, the Eagles, even though they fell off. The Detroit's line.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are put together for years, and there's consistency. And that's what you want in a team, man.
Aaron Beasley, our guest, joining us right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, so what do you believe they should do coming up here on Thursday night? Before we get to the picks, any reservations at all about maybe moving up a few spots to get a corner if you love them, maybe moving up quite a few spots to get one of those top three wide receivers that has been mentioned, or stay put and grab the best available player on the board? What do you believe they should do?
I mean, it's always about what is it going to cost us, you know? If we want to move way up, I don't know if we have the assets, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we're going to be stuck picking late for a long time. I mean, if you want to really move up. But I feel like the corner position, The top three guys, I think they're all similar.
Yeah.
But I tend to go towards the length of the Clemson Wiggins corner with the 4.240 coming out of the system that he played. I feel like he'd be a good fit because if we're going to be playing more man and cover three, Clemson corners over the years have been pretty good when they got to the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Know? Yeah. So. Guy ran a 4, what was it, a 4.28?
4.28. Yeah. And he's 6'2", 6'3".
Right.
And that's the thing. I was watching some highlights of him, and what I saw when he ran somebody down and took the ball, I mean, I see that ball hawk, you know, the instincts, because, you know, we need somebody to make some interceptions, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what's missing. A ball hawk, make some plays, because we have a good front. Now it's time to get turnovers off of that, you know, change – you know, to fill position that way.
Quinyon Mitchell is the guy that I know the least about as far as the three corners. If you look at Wiggins and obviously Terry and Arnold out of Alabama. Mitchell, because he played at Toledo, I just didn't watch him enough. But he, they say, is the most well-rounded corner in the draft. 6 foot, 196, but extremely physical. Apparently he's built like a running back, loves contact. Mm. Okay, very physical guy who also has the ability to cover. I know you've seen some clips on him and certainly done your homework. What do you believe about this young man?
I mean, 4.33 at the combine. Says, you know, I just wonder why he stayed at a smaller school like that, you know.
Yeah.
But you can find players, man. That's the thing. You know, throughout the years, I've seen some guys come and go. Doesn't matter what college you go to, you know, you come in, if you can play, I mean, make plays while you're out there at camp, and you show it, like guys see it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a numbers game, but I feel like, man, if he's up there in those numbers and that board, he's there for a reason.
Some guys that you played with, you know, came out of smaller schools. The great Jimmy Smith came out of a smaller school, right? You look at a guy like Quinyon Mitchell, that's what some people are going to say, the competition or the lack thereof that he faced on Saturday. He goes to the Senior Bowl. He's the best player on the field. At any position, many said, and shut down all the top wide receivers who were at the Senior Bowl. Also this year, he did not allow a touchdown. How much do things like that factor in, or is there still a concern to you that we don't know because he didn't face top-notch competition?
I mean, isn't it all top-notch competition, you know, because
at this level, yes.
I mean, even NCAA MAC conference, you know, how many MAC stars have you seen in NFL? I mean, it's not about that. Some guys just get overlooked and don't make it all the way to the top echelon of college football, but some guys develop late, you know. Like, I didn't get recruited out of high school, so what, you know, what did the recruit see or what did the scout see? So I just feel like if a guy can play, he can play. And when you see it on film, especially with today's game, I mean, the passing game, you know, got corners are out there on the island a lot. I mean, the film always will show it.
Yeah. Pardon me here because this suddenly escaped me. You weren't recruited. You got offered a scholarship at West Virginia. Right. But you
it's a funny story too.
Well, I forgot about it. I mean, it's not like you played 2 years ago. We're talking about the mid-90s. What happened again? I forgot. I apologize.
Well, when I was coming out of high school, I didn't have an offer for Division I, you know. Like,
okay.
I was second-team All-State, and you know, but I was so, you know, multi-versed. I fractured my kneecap before my senior year. I mean, it was it was a struggle.
And you were in the same secondary with the guy who went on to play the University of Florida, Lawrence Wright.
Lawrence Wright.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lawrence Wright.
I remember that now. Yeah.
So we both went to Valley Forge Military.
Right. Yeah.
For a year of post grad.
Okay.
So it's a year where you don't lose eligibility.
Gotcha.
And I had heard about it, and my cousin went there before me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw a couple guys go to Division I out of there.
Yeah.
So, like, but when you go there, it's not just football. You know, you ever see the movie Taps?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was like Taps. Like, the first day, we got to go there and shine our buckles. I mean, like, we actually had to do the military part. And, you know, that was a year that, you know, for me, I used to sneak into my coach's office and just watch so much film. I watched the Florida State-Miami game, wide left, wide right every day because I wasn't really into a big football area. You know, like Lawrence Wright came from Miami, and that's when Miami football was like the top. And I was like, man, y'all play football like that down there? I was like, so he helped me like study film, and it's like I just started watching, and then I picked up my own style. I wasn't fast. I mean, I ran a 4.65, 4.67 at the combine, and you know, my thing was my length and you know being physical, and you know, I used to use my body a lot to use leverage on people to make them run up my back.
Yeah.
So if I used to have a cover somebody that ran a 4.2. I can't get beat off the line.
No.
you know what I'm saying? So.
No doubt about it. But that discipline, you learned that 1 year. Maybe you had it in you before, but, I mean, it spoke volumes for you because Coughlin drafted you in the third round. And even knowing you now, long after your career, if you and I are going to go play golf, whatever, you'll tell me that you still get up at 7 a.m., you'll work out, or, you know, I'm rolling out of the rack at 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Man, I've always been that way, man, just – sports is everything to me. I wanted to play basketball so bad and make it to the NBA. I ran cross country 1 year instead of playing football. We had a relay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hood to coast relay, 168-mile relay. It took us 19 hours to run. You got 10 people on your team. Like, so I would run three legs. So I ran like 15 miles. So this is a funny story. You know, so you start on the mountain. So your first 4 miles are downhill. And if you run, you know, your average 5-minute mile, that's pretty good for a 5K. My coach says you're going
5-minute mile for 1 mile is good.
And that's what I'm saying. So my coach is like, well, you're going to average 4-minute miles because you're not going to be able to stop. So my coach comes up to me with these big old globs of Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Coach, what are you about to do? She said, take off your shoes.
Yeah.
Take off your socks. He said, I got to grease your toes because there's going to be so much friction that your feet will catch fire and you'll get blisters so bad. So I was like, Coach, is that going to hurt my knees?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want to run first. I was like, at first, I was like, I'm against the lead. We're going to win this race.
Yeah.
She said that. I was like, Coach, I can't do that.
when we come back, I want to get to wide receivers. But before we do that, Tyson Campbell basically played on one leg this year. He really had a very good 2022. What are your thoughts on him if he can stay healthy? This will be the final year of his contract.
I mean, he's, to me, the way he played that year, it just showed where he could be if he's just consistent. You know, that's the main thing. You know, what do we say? The best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And, you know, just getting out there, shedding that negative mindset from last year of what happened and just go play, you know, because he knows he has the skills. I mean, he has the length, the speed. He's faster than me. I know that. He ran 4.3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so he got all that. I mean, he just got to play. And I think maybe this system might be better for him. You know, sometimes a change of system is better because I love playing for Coach Geron.
Yeah.
But when Coach Capers came here.
Oh.
Man, and I was doing all that nickel, and I was lining up in different places. It was using my gifts, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe this system would be better for him, and maybe sometimes it's just a fresh start, you know?
Did you guys ever ask Dom Capers if it was a killed squirrel, muskrat, whatever the heck it was that was on his head?
Oh, man.
You guys had to kick that around. Man. I mean, come on.
Hey, Coach. Coach could light you up with just that look, man. I ain't mess with Coach.
That's the most perfect hair I've ever seen.
Come on, think about that. Who would ask that? When then on top of that, Tom Coughlin's the head coach. I'm not asking that around nobody.
You yeah.
know, we might keep it to each other, you know, but never.
I was just wondering. I mean, I was. I mean, I think it's the greatest toupee in the history of the National Football League.
Never ask a man about his hairpiece.
There you go. Advice
I mean,
from
hair. Aaron. I mean hair. I mean hair.
There you go. All right. 641-1010 if you want to get on in and ask Aaron Beasley a question on our text line. Again, that number is 641-1010. And it's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Let's talk some wide receivers on the other side.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, someone telling us Burt Reynolds with the best hairpiece of all time. Maybe we should have a show on that, the best hairpieces of all time. A former corner and a Jacksonville resident, or a Jacksonville born and raised, I don't think he's here any longer, Leroy Butler, the Hall of Famer, once in studio with me way back when, mid-90s, and we had Don King call in.
Oh, Don King.
Who had some of the greatest hair of all time, but apparently it was real. Leroy asked him about it, and then he went on after the fact, and he asked Don King, said he had just seen a documentary about how Don King had been involved in a homicide, and Leroy said, "Ooh. Did you really do that, Don?"
Oh, man. Ooh. Leroy,
Leroy did with a smile on his face, too. I mean, if you can have one, I thought it was one of the cooler moments that I can remember in ever doing this. All right, Aaron Beasley is with us. And, he's the new head coach, coaching football at Duval Charter at Bay Meadows. You guys got a big event coming up this Friday from 2 to 4 out there.
Yeah, we'll be out there with the
Leon team, and the boys.
With the team, yeah. Leon,
yep.
Yeah, Leroy in my mind.
Yeah, me too. I think I might have said it, yeah. Leon, Cersei, and Joey, and Matt Hayes, they'll be out there with you from 2 to 4.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some, get Leon on some ladder work.
Mm-hmm.
Get some content. Let's get some content.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not too hot.
What do you think about this wide receiver class?
Oh, it's deep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent. I mean, even some of the guys that are not projected, you know, first or second round. I'm not sure all the rounds projecting,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you got a guy, that kid from Florida, he's going to be a problem when he gets up in there.
Ricky Pearsall?
I love him in the slot somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
But the Jags are solid at the slot. They got Kirk, and they can play Washington there. They need a big wide receiver.
Do you think we can use the guy that we just drafted or picked up from Australia?
Nah, I don't know.
I know he's like more tight end, H-back.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it.
He's athletic, man.
I know he is, but yeah, I just think that's...
I think he should come hang out with me, and I'll get Jimmy Smith to work out with him.
Okay.
That's what should happen.
That would make a difference.
We'll get Jimmy Smith to work out with him on the press, beating press. Because nobody can touch Jimmy in press.
No. What about a move? What about making a trade, getting a Brandon Ayuk, getting T. Higgins, who's a big wide receiver who played with Trevor Lawrence at Clemson? One of the things that Lawrence had at Clemson, if you bring up Justin Ross as well, he had a big target. He has not had a big target here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's like that 6'4", 6'5", mm-hmm. receiver.
Right.
Because he throws those zingers. Like, I don't see too many balls thrown like soft from him. He zings stuff out there, but I don't know. I just there's still guys there. Okay, what about a Johnny Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a 6'7" guy.
Yep, he is.
I mean, we have enough right now that I think it's suitable because, I mean, think about when Doug was with the Eagles, he was with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a superstar receiver. They had Jeremy Maclin, but they spread the ball around.
No doubt.
You know, that's the name of that West Coast offense. You don't know who's going to get the ball. So I think we have very capable receivers that can do that. A young guy that could develop would be great.
Yeah, even when they won a Super Bowl, it's pretty amazing. They were pretty interchangeable in Philly. Both the wide receivers and running backs. Matter of fact, the only 1,000-yard guy they ever had was Zach Ertz, and they just replaced them all, and they did spread the ball around, and that included two quarterbacks with Wentz and Foles. But what they had was a great offensive line, and they had an outstanding defense.
There you go.
Right?
I mean, that formula will never change. You know, when I played, it was the best lines – the best defenses. I mean, look at our conference. We had Baltimore, Tennessee, Pittsburgh. It was about defense. It still is about defense because when that Super Bowl comes, you know, guys, they know your game plan. They figured it out. It's like you may sneak a couple plays in there, but it's about defense and controlling the ball and line of scrimmage. You know, being able to make that game where your quarterback doesn't make too many mistakes.
The game is so different today, Aaron, than it was when you played, and there are so many that believe today it's really all about themselves, and this is the ultimate team sport. But when you re-sign one of your own, the way that Trent Baalke and this organization did a couple of weeks ago with Josh Allen, does that send a message to the rest of the team?
I think it does because, you know, it shows you're trying to win, you know. There's a window in this game. You know, we're a prime example, our team. You know, there's a window. And when you got your prime guys playing at the level that Josh played, you know, the leadership that he has, it's more than just him on the field. It's like this guy brings energy to that whole team. You know, people gravitate to him. And then to have a young guy like Trayvon on the other side learning from – you know, this kind of leadership, I mean, it's going to be a good year on that defense again. I feel like we just got to step up in the secondary and our linebackers. I mean, that's all.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to be very intriguing, everything that's going on with Ryan Nielsen coming in and the changes they're going to make is going to be a tremendous watch and provide for a lot of excitement. I'm one of those who needs to see a little bit more when it comes to Trevor. Okay, I mean, I do think he's the guy, but I also wouldn't force the hand. He can play this year at 11.7. All right, that's still good money. You can pick up that fifth-year option. I just don't understand the hurry to get that extension done based on the fact that he's turned the ball over 70 times since he's been here, right? I mean, but he's the quarterback. I mean, am I wrong? Should you get the deal done now because it's cheaper down the road? Or do you want to put a prove-it year on him? What are your thoughts?
That is a tough one because the money they're shelling out right now, you know, that is tough.
And he's not going to come cheap.
But do we want to start all over again? He's 24?
24. Right.
I mean, there's some way we can get a four-year, you know, something done, you know, but you're going to have to. You have to have that position nowadays because look what we have in our division.
Oh, yeah.
You know, look at all these quarterbacks now coming out. There's five this year maybe, and now you still got the league that probably has 10, 12 good quarterbacks, you know. So, I mean, the competition is there, and, I mean, look, we have a first-rounder. That's a backup. So, you know, think about that. Like, so there really is no rush because of that factor as well, you know, because, I mean, what if Mac picks the system up? What if Mac or somebody gets hurt and Mac comes in there? You know, it's things happen.
They really like Mac. They really do.
Yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz got hurt.
They made that move. I was told by someone I really trust that they made that move because Trevor had five injuries. And if he goes out, they believe they can win with Mac Jones.
Exactly.
Okay? Not just compete, but they believe they can win. And you nailed it. I mean, look at this year's draft class. You're going to have maybe the first three BQBs, and you could have five in the first round, hopefully four by the time that Jacksonville selects at 17. Yet the year Trevor was selected, look at the other first rounders. Number two, Zach Wilson, traded yesterday to the Broncos. Number three, Trey Lance, now in Dallas. Okay. Number 11, Justin Fields, traded a month or so ago. He's now in Pittsburgh. And then number 15, Mac Jones, back home here in Jacksonville. So you can make the case right now. I'm not going to bury the other four because they're still 24, 25 years of age. But right now on paper, it looks like the jury's out on Trevor. Is he a franchise guy? Is he not? And the other four have failed. Yet you got all these organizations that are ready to, you know, just bank everything on finding their quarterback in 48 hours.
Yeah, it's super carousel. And because it's like then you see next year it'll probably be four more quarterbacks. Yeah. So you got to step your game up now, man. It's like I just feel like the line is going to be the key. That's to me, that's everything, you know. Any kind of hit on Trevor is not good. You got to get rid of the ball too, you know. I mean, everything works together.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes throwing it out of bounds is not bad.
It's not. And I think that that's what's very frustrating. This is my opinion. I think that that is what is frustrating for this organization, is that they really believe Trevor Lawrence is the guy, but it feels like he tries to go overboard to make a play, and a lot of times that leads to making a stupid play,
mm-hmm.
where he turns the ball over, where he throws the ball inbounds and Parker Washington doesn't get out of bounds. I mean, there's just a litany of reasons. And again, maybe you can say that's because he's a young quarterback. I don't know. But sooner or later, you hope you can flip the switch and the light goes on for him.
I think one thing, we were very much ahead of schedule.
With him?
The year we went to the playoffs.
Yes. Okay, year two. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we just had a number one pick and then a number one pick, and then we made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. But I feel like he's still, this is going to be his third year in the system. You know, knowing to get rid of the ball now is going to be the main factor, because even me as a defensive back, I have that time clock in my head too, because I know you got to get rid of that ball in time, because these DNs are running 4.3s now. You know, these DNs are running 4.6 and 4.7. They're getting upfield, and the D tackles are just as fast, and you have to get rid of the ball. It has to be that time clock. 1, 2, 3, throw it. It's funny because I sit around with, you know, I watch the game with Big John, and we always say at the same time, throw it, because it's always in our head, that time clock, that right. You have to throw the ball or run.
Yeah.
And slide.
Before we let you get out of here, Aaron Beasley with us. And again, coming up Tuesday, 2 to 4, they'll be out at Duval Charter on Bay Meadows, as Aaron Beasley is a new high school football coach there. You also have a big event. Now, I'll promote this as we get closer, but just to get it out here now for the first time, you have a big event coming up on Saturday, June 8th. Come train with the pros, summer football and cheer clinic. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Well, NFL alumni, we're working together and doing just drills, you know. I love being around the game, and I've been doing this with NFL alumni before I came back down here up north. And, you know, the motto is caring for kids, caring for our own, and they really do follow that motto.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll promote that. Grades K through 12 to go train with the pros, and that includes cheerleading. As well, be from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Again, that's in a little bit. That'll be on June 8th. That
is, it's going to be hot. It'll be hot around there.
It's going to be hot. Hey, I love what you said off air a moment ago. It's starting to get hot, but that means less people play golf. It gets hot.
Yeah. Hey, I told my boy, we played last year. I was so sweaty. You got to come out there like Yvonne Lenda with wristbands and sand in your pocket. That's an old tennis. You know, Ted is great back there for all you younger, you know.
Uh-huh. Hey, I don't think we should do that. I was going to do something that I've been told not to do. So I was going to show you something, but then the listeners wouldn't know, and that'd be kind of a tease, and that'd be rude, and I don't want to end things that way, because this has been such a joyous occasion. Aaron Beasley, it's great to see you, man.
You too, man.
Always a lot of fun. There he is, one of the greats to ever play defensive back right here in Jacksonville, and he is the new head coach over at Duval Charter on Bay Meadows. That is Aaron Beasley. We got much more to do. We'll take you up until 8 o'clock right here on this Tuesday night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thank you to Aaron Beasley. Good stuff. Thank you to as well, 5405 and some others, sending me just a beautiful man, Dom Capers. And, if I could do it all over again, I think I would go with the resod. What do you think, JJ? I mean, you know, at this point in my life, I don't need it. But if I could get, like, someone to step up. You know, we have weight loss here, right?
Awaken 180, of course.
Absolutely. And some of our finest talent, the pounds are just drooling off their body, including Hacker. Hacker walked in here last night. I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, they look great.
They look outstanding. If there was someone out there that was willing to pay me top dollar,
IHRS, we have that as well.
I would absolutely allow you to resod my head. Okay, I mean, just shave it to the bone. And it's not a a vain thing. I mean, listen, guys change their hair for one reason and one reason only, right?
Women.
To pick up chicks. What else would you, why would you ever do anything else to your hair? Do you care what the bros think? Do you care what the guys think? Do you feel more comfortable in the workplace? Do you feel more at ease on the golf course? No, you do it to pick up chicks.
Although it does, if you were totally bald, it does seem like it would suck in the wintertime and the summertime. You get burned and it's cold.
I've never had trouble picking up chicks.
Yeah, you have hair, though. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put you in a category of like a bald guy.
You're ruining the bit.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're ruining the bit.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have the thickest head of hair.
No,
but,
no. I go to T-Wig and I say, hey, T-Wig, do me a favor. Will you thin it out for me? It's getting all over the place, you know, but yeah. But anyway, I've got Burt Reynolds here. I love our listeners. They're going back and forth. Here sending us some of the greatest toupees that we are aware of. Who's got the greatest television toupee? It may be Carl Ravitch.
Wow.
At ESPN. Oh, that's as fake. That's as fake as...
I never even noticed
it is.
Or looked.
It is. That's a toupe. Any rock toupes that we're unaware of? Because, you know, rock and rollers, I mean, outside of Phil Collins, right, everyone has a full set of hair, right? Is there any fake hair? How about in sports? I tell you who had a fake set of hair. You go back and watch him with the Chicago Blackhawks in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, and, you know, including the World Hockey League. Bobby Hull, I remember I sat with Bobby one night. We had a Jasper's Award, and he had a full dome. I think Wade Boggs has gone into the world as well of fake
hair. I'm seeing a lot of John Travolta.
Okay. From your neck of the woods.
Yes, John Belair.
You know where he lives out there?
Yes, yeah, sort of.
An idea? Okay. Always liked Travolta. Big fan. I mean, how can you not? How can you not like Saturday Night Fever and some of that early stuff with John Travolta? But he seems to get hit up here and there, and a lot of interesting stuff comes out with him. But anyway, if you know anyone who would be interested, let me know, and I'll consider it. I will. Burt Reynolds in Malone, the best hairpiece ever. I'll have to look that up. I know Burt had a sensational one. Burt's was actually so good that it looked real. Those would be the best toupees, right? The ones that are so real that no one even knows that, in fact, it is a toupee, if you do understand what I'm trying to get at.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Hold on a second. Ben Affleck has a toupee?
I don't know if this is real, but when you go to infamous toupees online, he's like the first one that comes up.
All right. We've brought our expert in here, Jordan Edwards, to join us. He is the senior scouting analyst with Sports Info, SIS, which you can get on Twitter. But before we do that, Jordan, who's got the best toupee that you know of out there?
Oh, man. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
You got me on the spot here.
We ask you that. We ask the tough questions around here, Jordan. Okay. I brought up Dom Capers because I had Aaron Beasley in studio. Dom Capers had a magnificent toupee, but I hate to do it to you and put you on the spot. You don't have one that comes to mind?
I don't know if I have one that comes to mind. I'm sorry. I won't lie to you. I don't really think about it a lot, but I've noticed just because bedtime came around, I know there's people rumors about it. I know people say Bill Self has one. I don't know. I don't want to put him on the spot there, but that's the only one that comes to mind recently that I hear people talk about. So I'm sorry to let you down with a bad answer there.
But no problem. No problem whatsoever. More importantly than that, at 17, it feels like the Jaguars are going to draft a corner. Who do you believe is the best corner available in this year's draft class?
Yeah. So over at for Sports Info Solutions, we've been writing all of the scouting reports this year and putting them on the 33rd team website. So everybody can, you know, that's listening, if you want to get a little bit more info there about all of the cornerbacks this year, read up on those. Our number one cornerback is Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama.
Interesting.
We do have a group of guys, about four guys there at the top that we see, you know, sort of in a similar light. But I'll start with Kool-Aid just because he's number one guy. That there's a couple people or a couple prospects there that they could go with, whether it be Terry Arnold, Nate Wiggins from Clemson, both Alabama guys. We'll start with them two first. But Kool-Aid, you know, he was a guy that went into Alabama and started pretty much from day one. Athletic guy, very, very comfortable in coverage, which is something in press man coverage specifically. Jacksonville Jaguars are probably going to end up having to deal a lot with their new defensive coordinator.
Hold on 1 second here. We'll try to reconnect. We're just having a problem, obviously, with the cellular telephone with Jordan Edwards. We'll see if we can get a clearer signal. If not, we'll have to say goodbye. But, you know, I have different analysts on every night to talk about the NFL draft, and I've had a few people tell me that they believe that Kool-Aid McKinstry, even though he doesn't rank as high as these other corners, is the best overall man cover prospect in this draft. And that's what we expect. Ryan Nielsen, obviously, that's his bread and butter. Now, Nielsen was really good when we met with him. He said, you got to take the parts you have and work with it. And I got the feeling that it was going to be more than just man, but we've heard that from a couple of different folks. Let's see if we have Jordan Edwards back with us. Jordan, you were talking about Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, Kool-Aid is somebody that we think both of these Alabama corners, they're comfortable in press man coverage. That's something that Alabama does pretty consistently throughout their defenses with Nick Saban. Kool-Aid is somebody that has gone a little under the radar, I think maybe the last couple of months, just because he hasn't tested in the spotlight, but did test at the Alabama Pro Day, had, you know, on a broken foot, still ran a really good 40 time. That athleticism shows up on tape as well. Teams didn't really throw at him that much. Teams, a lot of the time, were throwing to Terry and Arnold on the other side. So you got to see Arnold's ball skills a little bit better on display. He's somebody that also he ranks really well in our total points metric, which is similar to EPA. And he and Nate Wiggins are at the top there for total points per game for draft eligible corners for our, you know, in our draft site leaderboards and stuff like that. So, but a lot of these guys, I don't think that there's necessarily one that you could go wrong with. I think a lot of these guys are going to be high-level starting corners. But, yeah, even going back, you know, each one of them have their specific traits. Terry and Arnold is the guy that also defends the run really well, super willing at run defender. I you know, seeing highlight clips of him being able to make awkward tackles in space. Is something that you really don't see from corners. So having that is something that you want in all 11 of your defenders. And then Nate Wiggins is a guy who just flies all over the football field. A little bit on the lighter side, but his 4.28 speed comes out on display on the field. He had a couple of really nice chase down tackles. One, I think, prevented a touchdown. I think the other one, they still eventually ended up in one, but he was able to chase it down at the goal line. So not often that you get to see that speed come into effect on plays like that for corners, so it's really nice to see that. So a lot of really, really good options there at 17 that I think could eventually fall there for the Jags.
All right, powerhouses, two out of Bama, one out of Clemson. Another kid who's mentioned quite a bit is Quinyon Mitchell, who played at Toledo. Some say he may be the best well-rounded corner of them all if you bring into consideration his physicality. Your thoughts there, and again, the whole small school to big school, how much does that apply?
You know, when you're talking about a school like Toledo coming from the MAC conference, you want to see those types of players dominate their level of competition. That was something that was very evident from, you know, somebody like Khalil Mack, you know, which warranted a high first-round pick for him. So he was doing that at Toledo over the last couple of seasons. Had a game where he had four interceptions in one game, two pick sixes in that game. You know, he really really showed out. You know, a lot of the ball skills that he has. Really comfortable in zone coverage, man coverage, off coverage as well. He's very well rounded. He kind of checked every single box throughout the process. Where dominated at MAC level competition, Senior Bowl. He was probably one of the best players there. you know, he just keeps checking off boxes. Combine, he's been good. Nothing else has come out or anything about him as well. So he's somebody that's probably going to be in that range. It might end up a little bit further up near maybe the top 10 just because of how well he's done throughout the process. But, yeah, I mean, he should still be in that range. I think the Jags are in a really good spot to get maybe the corner that they specifically want at 17.
Jordan Edwards, our guest. He's with Sports Info Solutions. Get everything at sportsinfosolutions.com. Do a great job with their metrics and just everything they do that is draft-related. All right, here's my opinion, Jordan. They get a corner at 17. They get a wide receiver at 48. And part of that is I think wide receiver is a deeper class where you can get a good football player at 48, and you got to take the corner sooner. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment?
I would say I think both corner and wide receiver, I think there is some talent that can be found, whether that be, you know, high day two, late day two type of range. I think it really just kind of depends on what's available.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the receiver class has the top three guys, and then I think there's a tier level down a little bit with Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, Keon Coleman, those types of receivers, where maybe you'd be fine taking them at 17, but maybe they're not that big of a difference between the guy that you might be able to get at 48. So maybe a guy like, Xavier Leggett falls that far. Maybe one of the speedsters like, Xavier Worthy or Troy Franklin or somebody like that falls down to that spot. I do think there is a little bit more of a range in the 40s to where you could get the receiver that you might want. I think it just really depends. There's a lot of different types of receivers in this class, whether deep threats, route runners, guys that you can win in different ways with. So I think it really just depends on the specific receiver that the Jags might want. But I do think there's a lot of talent in both positions. I think it's a good spot to be in because I do think you can get away, out of the top 50 on day two with two guys that you really feel good about starting for your team next year.
Leave us with this, Jordan. What are you hearing? What is your understanding? Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins. I've seen a couple of corners. Don't know if a quarterback has moved. I mean, we had Zach Wilson yesterday, but what do you believe as far as trades coming up on Thursday night?
I would be hard pressed to believe that T. Higgins gets moved. It feels like the Bengals had a down year last year with the injuries that kind of set back Joe Burrow at the beginning and end of the year. I would think that they would kind of go after it one more time before they need to invest in Ja'Marr Chase. And I think they'll still have both of those guys in there, try to run it one more time to see if they can make a deep playoff run. Ayuk is somebody that he keeps getting this buzz, but I feel like it's teams that are trying to ramp it up more than maybe the Niners or even Ayuk's camp. He's somebody that he's a wide receiver that is one of my favorites in the league. I think he just unlocks the 49ers offense to a different level with his ability to stretch the field, and he's a good, really good route runner. I think that goes understated for him. He can take the top off the defense as well. And so he's somebody that I think deserves to get paid. I would think that Deebo would be the person that they would move on before letting Ayuk go, just because I think Ayuk gives a little bit more of a skill set that is a little bit harder to find. Whereas I think there are receivers coming into the league every year that you can get in a type of a role that Deebo allows. However, he's probably the best at it in the league. So it's hard to split between those two guys. What I would be thinking, maybe even for the Jags specifically, is they're in a range where maybe a guy like Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers would start to fall, maybe around the 8 or 9 spot, and maybe the Jaguars felt hard pressed to maybe jump up to try and give Trevor Lawrence just another weapon to really try and go at it next year with the type of the division that they're going to run into. All those teams are kind of improving at a rapid pace. Maybe Roma Dunze gets down to 9 and the Jaguars are just like, let's try and go get this guy. And let's try and make a run for it and give, Lawrence everything that he can before we try to end up paying him in the near future.
That's very intriguing. It really is. And, of course, that's going to cost. And there's holes here. And the only reason why I wouldn't do that is because I think they need two or three really good football players. But, that's the beauty of it. It's not a perfect science, but we'll see what actually does take place. You can get Jordan Edwards. Go to BabyRhino79 on Twitter. And, of course, the NFL Draft at Sports Info Solutions. Unbelievable product. Been a big fan of it for years. Jordan, thank you as always. Enjoy the draft on Thursday.
Appreciate it. You too.
There he goes. Jordan Edwards. Appreciate his time. Baby Rhino 79 on Twitter, on X. Andre Agassi, best sports tube ever. Dom had a lift tip, had the Tiff Eagle mop, tightly mown. Okay. Best comb overs in professional sports. Okay. Don Knotts, Mr. Furley. That wasn't a tube. That was a comb over, right? Marv Albert. Okay. Yep. Not going to argue with that. Best toupee ever. I've got to give you the numbers here. 6351. The Dice Man. Really? I thought that it was all real. You people.
Talking about Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that as a tuper. The thing about a toupe, doesn't it reek of, like, complete lack of self-confidence? I mean, isn't it like would you rather be incredibly insecure or pompous ass cocky? There's no in-between, okay? There's no you, JJ, there's no me. It's one or the two. It's you are a sniveling little, oh my God, no chick will ever look at me. No chick will ever look because of my hair. You're so or you're just an ass, right? You're like a golf snob. Is there a worse human being on this planet than a golf snob? Okay. Upper class, always kind of looking. They're rude to waiters. They're rude to bartenders. I mean, if you're a golf snob, stop it. Okay. You're like the worst human being on this planet.
Wasn't getting a toupee, though, like the same as it would be to get it re-sodded today? Like, they didn't have the technology back then. So would you say every man who has whatever you call it, re-sodded hair, like, do you say he has low whatever? You know, does he have a low ego or whatever?
I would think most do.
Sort of the same.
See, losing weight is health-related, in my opinion. Now, I'm sure people want to lose weight so they look better to chicks, but when you get to be my age...
You want to live.
You want to lose weight so you can be around for a few more years.
Yeah.
Getting your head re-sodded or getting a toupee, that isn't going to help you live. That's there for one reason. It's to help... Guys don't care what other guys think. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it that way. But for the most part, I'm just telling you the way that my mind has worked.
Straight man. Man doesn't care what another man thinks.
I've never cared what another man thinks of me as far as my look. But of course you care about what women think. Every man does. So I think that's the difference there. But hey. We don't know. Best wide receiver bees went up in his career. I'll ask him. Sorry, I didn't get this. We got so many that came in, and it's all my fault because I blew it with the bringing up of the toupee there. It was totally, I was going to say, unprofessional of me, but it's not. I mean, that's another thing. It's like if everyone knows, but no one says it, regardless of what it is. I mean, it could be anything. It could be body odor. It could be... it could be just anything, right? The way you dress, the lipstick you wear, the way the gals wear their hair. If everyone knows, but you don't know, yet you're afraid to tell them. I wonder if anyone ever walked up to Dom Capers and said anything. That is just so fascinating. I don't know. He's a pretty respected guy. He's a pretty
yeah, but like you get
hard
close
ass.
With somebody, your buddies, you know, they take shots at you. By the way, self-esteem, that's of course what I was looking for, reaching very hard for. Thank you
the
for
the word self-esteem?
Yeah. If you know, if you're close with Dom, you're probably giving him jabs just the same as he probably would with you. But if you're just like a water boy on the team, you probably don't say anything.
All right. Do me a favor here now at 641-1010 because this show's gone by so fast. We only have 40 minutes remaining. To you men out there, I need to know. I'm in a need-to-know basis tonight. 641-1010 on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. When you got the new dome, whether it was resodded or a toupee, how much did it help you with the women? I need to know. Do you need to know, JJ?
I do.
I absolutely need to know.
And I can't wait for the inevitable text that's like, it was for myself.
Yeah. All right, 641-1010 on our text line. That is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Almost cut my hair.
Oh, yeah. Asking you for the greatest toupee that you've ever come across. And my goodness, you wouldn't think we're 48 hours away from the NFL draft because Jacksonville right now is absolutely having a blast. And some of this stuff that's coming in is great. I wish I had more than 2 hours tonight. My buddy Danny Van Sickle, who's got nice flowing tiny little bit of gray there on the side, maybe.
Just a little.
But you got a full dome, man. You look good.
You know what, man? I like a lot of people, I wore hats almost my whole life, you know, playing baseball growing up.
Right.
And when I got in my 30s, I noticed all of my buddies wore hats, but they wore them because they had to wear hats. And I was like, you know, while I'd have decent hair, why am I wearing a hat so much? And I've gotten to a point now where I'm not going to wear a hat unless I absolutely have to again. I'm going to keep my hair while I got it.
I was going to say, listen, when you're a Seminole fan and a Jaguar fan, obviously you're going to have a full set of hair, right? No stress there.
That's right.
But when you also head up the Electrical Training Alliance, the way that has been absolutely off the charts, man, it's cool sailing the whole way through for you.
Man, things are so crazy where we're at right now, Rick. You know, we've done a lot of advertising here on the radio. We feel like we've reached a lot of people. We do a lot of high school outreach recruitment.
Yeah.
You know, our YouTube channel gets seen by a lot of people. So, you know, our goal was to get the word out there and to let people know about us. And we started doing this about 3 or 4 years ago. And I can't tell you how much the results have benefited us. We have more applications than we've ever had, which hopefully means we're going to have more candidates with high potential that we've ever had, which means we have more people to choose from. And this is a great trade. And, you know, the more people we can give this opportunity, the better it is for them and the better it is for us.
You know, whether people believe me or not is irrelevant, but I say it and I say it quite a bit. The people that I rep and are in association with is for one reason and one reason only. Put money in my pocket. No, it's for one reason only. And that is to help other people. And this is unbelievable. The career that you could have as an electrician, you may be thinking right now you're not college material, you're in college, you're struggling, you need a career change, you're a professional right now, you're unhappy. Tell them about the Electrical Training Alliance and what you can do.
You know, we assume a lot that people just know who we are when we say go to etajax.org, be an electrician. Now, there's a lot of different fields of electricity out there. So, you know, we have to answer a lot of questions. What exactly is it that you do? We get people that think that we work on appliances, for instance, because it has electricity in it.
Yeah.
We get people that think that we work in factories, you mm-hmm. know. And I try to tell them all, we build the factories. We build the buildings. You know, we don't do residential at our individual apprenticeship. There's other apprenticeships that have contractors that do. But our contractors, they don't do residential. We have about two contractors who do residential, and the residential that they do is very high-end residential, and they do a great job with it. But the majority of our electricians are working in commercial and industrial electrical applications, and that's where the money is. High wages, high skill, though, and, of course, whenever you're working on the 15th floor of a building or you're working in a powerhouse or water treatment plant, you need that higher skill set.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Who are the Jaguars taking? 48 hours away.
I would love to see him take a wide receiver because I think you need to get some weapons for Trevor. I don't think Neighbors will be there. Brian the second will be. But I'm thinking they're going to go corner.
No.
Terry and Arnold is who I think is going to be the safe pick. I did see, you know, a lot of people are thinking they're going to pick the guy out of Toledo. And you know what, man? I go back to my earlier Jaguar days when it seemed like every year they were getting someone from Southwest Missouri State instead of Ohio State. And so I'm sure that, you know, Toledo is a fine program.
Oh, yeah.
But when you got a chance to get someone like Arnold from a Southeastern Conference team, if he's there, he's played against the highest competition that there is. You've got great tape on him. You can look at who he's played. He's playing against other first-round draft picks that are going to go wide receiver. I don't see how you can go wrong there taking him. I think that's probably the safest pick if he is there.
According to Albert Breer, Nick Saban said that he is the best prospect coming out of Alabama this year. Most mocks have two higher players going ahead of him, offensive lineman and as well a pass rush defensive end. But we'll see what ends up happening if, it, in fact, it is Terry and Arnold. All right, you're a Florida State guy. Their spring game took place on Saturday. You and I have had a conversation off air since. Your overall thought on what you saw?
You can't not expect some kind of drop-off when you have as much talent as they had on that team last year. They got two sure round first picks. I mean, you know Benson's going.
Yep.
They've got Fisk right there at 28, 29. Mm-hmm. But when you looked at how they did at the combine and you looked at all the players that they have on that defense, plus with the players that left, you're going to have some kind of drop-off on that. The defense looked awesome. They did.
I agree.
And the quarterback, you know, DJ, he didn't have a great stat line, but I'm not sure how much you can pull from a spring game on a stat line. You know, there's a couple of times where he would have just ran and got a first down for us if it was a real game. But there's no sense in him running in a spring game because he knows that he can't get tackled or can't get touched, or he better not get touched, you know. He did make some good throws. But obviously, you know, you can't expect 13-0 every single year. I'd love to see 13-0 this next year. So it looks like they're on the right track. Listen, Coach Norvell has proven that he knows how to work the portal. I think you're probably going to see some more guys leave. You had a couple leave right after the game. You're going to see some more guys leave. But there's nothing wrong with guys leaving if you're bringing in people that are equal or better. And when he first got there, people were leaving. They weren't bringing people in that were better. They were leaving because they didn't fit that culture and they just didn't want to, you know, play for him. And really, once you look at someone like a Jermaine Johnson that came in, they pretty much showed that you can get really, really good players from other programs. He came from Georgia, and the guy couldn't even start, and he was a first-round draft pick.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point that you make. I didn't like the fact that Jacobs announced that he was leaving yesterday, and more are going to come. There's going to be more attrition. Some of it will be forced, but, yeah, I almost feel like if they could maybe just get one more linebacker, possibly a wide receiver. That's really my only concern right now. I agree with you. The defense is better than I expected. I think the running game is going to be fine. And this Jalen Lucas kid really looks to be special in the transfer from Alabama as well. There is inconsistency at wide receiver. And, you know, I just hope, and Benson may be the best, Malik Benson, but of course he rolled his ankle. I'd like to see a couple of other wide receivers really step up for Florida State.
You know, they haven't had a workhorse pretty much since Cam Akers were there. At times, Trey Benson would go a good 3 or 4 game spurt where he would get 25 to 32 carries. He was what you would consider their workhorse. But for a whole year, they haven't had that in a long time. I don't think you're going to have it now. I think that the offensive staff there believes in keeping fresh people in. You see them constantly cycle in the running backs in and out to keep some fresh legs and also give different looks. Some will tell you that, you know, that's not a great strategy. A good running back needs a lot of carries to get going. But you can't argue with the success that they've had there the last couple of years. Wide receivers, you know, you're going to lose Keon Coleman. He's projected to go second round. Hakeem Williams, he looked really good. He's beefed up a lot, and I think that strength and conditioning program has really got to him. Had a lot of drops, you know, but whenever they're having these drops, one reason why they're having these drops is because they've got All-American, you know, defensive backs that are trailing them. They're not dropping it against air. So I think that that can be fixed. Obviously, like I said, the statistics will say there should be some kind of drop off. I hope there isn't one there. But I think they're good enough, and I think with the schedule that they have, you know, making some key plays, I think they can have another special season like last year.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Williams. Boy, I really hope – I don't know why I'm nervous that he's going to leave. I hope he doesn't. All it takes is another school to say, hey, come here, you can play, and here's a big paycheck for you.
Listen, that is the world you live in now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, you have to just look at it. It's business decisions on their part. And I always think it's funny when you see people leave, like Cormenny McClain. You know, he left Colorado – and then he posted his three school choices, and all of them were like mid-major colleges. So, you know, Colorado, they're really not hurting that Cormenny McClain left them, because if he's going to a mid-college, it's probably where he needed to go, right? So I really think what you're going to see is a market correction. We're still really in the infancy on this. You know, Porter's only been around for about 3 years. I think you're going to see that in NIL. I think you're going to see a market correction on it. It's going to get to the point where you're not going to see as many people leaving out and coming in, because people are going to realize that the grass isn't always green on the other side. But I do think you're going to have those cases. Florida State has benefited from those cases. I
mean, oh, yeah.
They benefited from Trey Benson. They benefit from Jermaine Johnson. And I think that they're really going to benefit from Marvin Jones Jr. If you want to know about how far the Florida State program fell several years ago, just look at the fact that Marvin Jones Jr. went to Georgia when he came out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's transferred back now, and I hope it's like a Jermaine situation. He's transferred back, and he's going to be a star for us. He looked good. But really, when you look at the program now, even if they lose a game or two this last year, listen, I lived through the Willie era like you did. And so when you see how bad they were compared to where they've gotten, you want consistency. When they were finishing in the top four for 11 years in a row, they didn't do it undefeated every single year. They were still finishing in the top four. They were the measure of consistency. They would lose one or two games, and they would always be the big opponents. I can handle losing to a Clemson. Man, I can't handle losing to Wake Forest. And I think we're at the point now that we are going to lose games. It's just fact, you ain't going to go undefeated forever. But when we lose those games, they are going to be against the Clemsons. They are going to be against the Miamis. It's not going to be the Syracuse anymore.
At Notre Dame in November is
I'll be there.
Certainly a tough one. Well, that's a great trip, no Can't doubt wait. About it. All right, get us caught up now. The applications, when's the deadline? And just take us through the whole spiel about, you know, what you can do, whether you're coming out of high school, not doing well in college, or if you're just looking for a career change already as a professional.
So we have year-round applications. The deadline for the fall class is May the 20th. So if you want to start class in the fall, you have to apply before May the 20th. And when we say apply, there's a lot to applying, but you can do it all at home. There's just, you have to make sure you get some documentation uploaded, like your state-issued ID, your Social Security number you need to bring to us if you don't feel comfortable uploading. We take it in our actual school as well. You have to get your high school transcripts mailed to us. If you're a high school senior, obviously you don't have your high school transcripts, just a letter from your guidance counselor saying you're on track to graduate, and then we'll get your transcripts from you, you know, after post-selection. But get that process going. You can apply anytime, but I say it all the time. People don't realize we have entry-level positions available right now. We could get you to work for one of our contractors at an entry-level wage, and you can see what it's like. And you can really get an idea of what it's like to be an electrician with our apprenticeship. We get people who see how much money we make, and we talked about it. You know, you're going to make $80,000 with us when you finish the program, including benefits. Everybody wants to make that $80,000, right? But not everybody realizes how much work you have to put in to begin with. If you get in with us at an entry-level position, you see what that work is. And you get an idea, okay, this is what I'm going to have to do the next 5 years if I want to finish this apprenticeship. But this is where I can go. This is where I can take myself to. So we encourage people, you don't have to wait till you get into the school to go to work. You can start working right now and go through that application process. Go to our website and our YouTube. Look at the pictures and the videos that we have. My email is very prominently there. Our phone number is there. We'd be glad to answer any questions and talk to anybody.
And there are people who make $80,000 a year but have student loans of $80,000 plus that they have to pay off. That is not the case. All you pay for at the ETA is books.
That's correct. There is no tuition with us. None. Zero. No Pell Grants. No loans you have to get. No nothing you have to get forgiven whenever you get in your 30s. All you have to do is pay for your books and your course fees whenever you get to the school. You're earning money. This isn't unpaid internship. This isn't job shadowing. You know, you're working for a contractor the whole time that you're in the apprenticeship. You're working at, I used to say 40 hours a week, but really a lot of our jobs now, they're working 45, 50 hours a week. So now you're talking 5 to 10 hours of overtime that you're getting in a week. You can make some really good money out there and really start getting yourself prepared for what it's going to be like when you finish the apprenticeship and you start maybe running your own work, running your own service truck, and maybe even starting your own company. I think about last time I checked, 80% of the companies we have were all started by someone who was an electrician.
Yeah. Just got a text here that said, would you hire a 42-year-old? Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
Absolutely, you'd hire a 42-year-old.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, no doubt.
Go to the website.
Give it to us one more time.
ETAJAX.org. Tons of information there. You can apply there. You can see pictures and videos about us. We have explanations of our classifications there at that website. And you can really get a good idea what we're about.
Danny Van Sickle, Noel fan, Jags fan. And, of course, he heads up ETA, Electrical Training Alliance. Always good to see you.
Glad to be here, buddy.
Final thoughts on the other side. An update on a resodded head that needs to be told.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we got a giveaway, and what a special one it is. JJ LaSalva, what's up?
AEW is in town once again. So I have a pair of tickets to see AEW Dynamite April 24th at Daly's Place.
We will take caller number one.
Nice.
Because we only have like 2 minutes left in the show. I've received a ton here tonight. It's been a lot of fun. It really has. Aaron Beasley in studio, Danny Van Sickle a moment ago. And so much I want to say now. First of all, my feelings are hurt. Someone brought up that the great Baker McBride was a fake dome.
Who is that?
Look up Gary Maddox or Baker McBride back when they played outfield for the St. Louis Cardinals in the 70s and the 80s.
Oh, the afro is fake.
I mean, it's of the Oscar Gamble category. So jealous. I mean, it's just the greatest hair of all time. There's no way I believe it was fake. But we, oh, did I lose it now? I had a really good one. Here it is. This is probably the best at what I was trying to get, because a lot of people tell me here that they've really done well with chicks since they did something with their hair. But the 7429 says, I have a friend. It's not me.
Always.
Okay, and that's the best part of it, right? I have a friend. I actually have a friend who got a hair transplant and absolutely got more chicks and is now married after he got the new grass, but I contend it was because his confidence went up.
Oh.
And it had nothing to do with the hair. As far as the girl was concerned, he just became more confident.
And I bet exactly both things happen, though.
Yeah.
Like, he could have gained confidence and also looked better at the same time.
Let me give you a little bit of advice. The older you get, as long as you have some cash in your pocket and a smile and you can make her laugh, man, you're set. Doesn't matter if you have a good dome, bad dome, or whatever the case may be. At least that is my opinion. All right, some great hockey tonight for all you puckheads out there, right? Another full slate of games this evening right now, 2-1 New York over Washington. They've played 20 minutes at the Madison Square Garden. The Battle of Florida. The Panthers up 1-0 against Tampa Bay. Florida up 1-0 in that series. Again, they're up 1-0 right now, 13:44 to go in the first. Out west tonight, Colorado will take on Winnipeg and the Predators at the Canucks. Winnipeg up 1-0. Vancouver up 1-0 as well. The hockey playoffs have been absolutely outstanding early on, and that is going to continue coming up here tonight. Again, also want to thank everyone for joining us. Again, Aaron Beasley in studio. Really enjoyed that with the Killer Bees. Great stuff there from the former Jaguars corner. He is the current head coach over at Duval Charter on Bay Meadows. Thank you to Jordan Edwards from Sports Info Solutions. Great website for draft fans out there. And Danny Van Sickle a few moments ago. giving us the very latest. Hackers next. Thank you to J.J. LaSalva. I don't check the text line now if the show is over. You can always get me on Twitter. We'll talk with you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here in your home of the Jags.